We've got several bills up for full committee. Like to go ahead and proceed with 746, Senate Bill 746. Council?
Mr. Chairman, 746 relates to parking offenses. There are some amendments on the before you that I would recommend that the committee adopt. After the bill was passed out of the subcommittee, I believe the judicial department raised some objections to the bill because it was going to increase. I don't know if anyone here from them, but it was going to increase expenses considerably because it would require the court to send out a certified letter to the person receiving the parking ticket. The amendments to the bill would allow the prosecuting agency to send out the registered letter if they so desire, thus taking away the fiscal impact from the judicial department. I believe there's another amendment may have left. Other problems with the bill that they worked out in the draft. This bill would, what it basically does, authorize a citation for parking offenders for infractions of the motor vehicle code or ordinances other than city ordinances by directing service to the defendant or by placing the citation on a conspicuous place of the vehicle. If the state is to issue a parking ticket, they cannot do that. They have to send it in. Site of parking or violate a parking infraction committed in their presence. This would make it easier for them to issue a parking ticket. I believe there are a couple of state parks where this has presented a serious problem in the sense that cars are left there blocking traffic and a parking ticket cannot be left in the vehicle.
Okay, so we need a motion on the Dash 6 amendments.
That's correct, Chairman.
Now, Mr. Chairman,
Burton,
I would move the amendments, which are 746A-6 amendments to Senate Bill 746.
Okay, Representative Burton moves the 746A-6 amendments. Is there further discussion? Is there any objection to those amendments? If not, they're adopted. Representative Burton?
Chairman, I move Senate Bill 746 as amended 2-4 with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Burton moves Senate Bill 746 as amended 2-4 with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Bonnie.
Aye.
Bunn.
Aye.
Burton.
Aye.
Dick.
Aye.
Hanlon.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Phillips.
Aye.
Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers? Representative Miller, thank you. Okay, 765.
Mr. Chairman, 765 is a bill that comes from Subcommittee 1. On an existing law, corporate pensions are exempt from the tax rule of execution. However, IRAs, Kehoe plans, and 401k plans, profit sharing plans, are not exempt. This puts the small professional, the small businessman, the person having a corporation at a disadvantage because their pension may be reached as opposed to a corporation. What this bill will do is exempt IRAs, 401ks, and Kehoe plans from execution except for child support obligations, thus allowing a qualified domestic relations order to be issued against those plans. What it does is if any money that has been placed in the plan or been in the plan over a year is exempt from execution. Any money that is placed in the plan within the last year would be subject to execution. This should prevent anyone from trying to dump a large sum of money into their plan and thus avoid attachment or bankruptcy.
Representative Hanlon.
Mr. Chair, I move 765A. Engrossed to the floor with the due pass.
Thank you, Representative. Senate Bill 765A engrossed to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Bowman.
Aye.
Noni.
Aye.
Bunn.
Aye.
Burton.
Aye.
Dick.
Aye.
Hanlon.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Phillips.
Aye.
Springer.
Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers? Representative Dix, or pardon me, Hanlon. Senate Bill 905.
Senate Bill 905 comes from Subcommittee 1. The measure permits an state agency to authorize an agency employee to represent it in a contested case. That is pursuant to the Administrative Procedures Act. The Subcommittee adopted the Dash 5 amendments, and the amendments would allow an authorized representative of a nonprofit legal services program to represent a person in a contested case hearing before a state agency to involve public assistance. The amendments also deal with organizations, and they would allow an officer or employee of certain organizations to represent the organization in a contested case proceeding.
Okay. Representative Hanlon?
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 905 as amended to the floor with the due pass.
Thank you. Representative Hanlon moves Senate Bill 905 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Bellamy? Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Dunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers?
I'll carry it.
Thank you, Representative Dix. Okay, Senate Bill 356. Council?
Mr. Chairman, if you would, before we get to the bill, I would like to discuss the amendments that we have before us. And after this passed out of subcommittee today, after I had a chance to go over, I think there's some amendments that we may want to make to the amendments. I believe there may be a Xerox copy of the first page in the file of the bill. If not, I will direct your attention to 920 of page 1 and suggest that the after provider, there's a bracket, you remove the bracket there and remove the bracket that appears in page 21 after the word is, and also remove the brackets around before on line 22. And I could. The reason for this is in removing the brackets, we're going back to current law. If we keep the law the way it, at least pass the law or this bill out with the amendments without the brackets removed, what we're going to do is require a material manager to have to file notice every 16 days. And frankly, that would be very burdensome on them. It doesn't make sense. Under the current bill, law, if we adopt these amendments, they would file a notice, and all supplies that are supplied after that date would be covered by the lien. What this would do is require the protection to have to keep running down to the courthouse of the county clerk's office every 16 days to keep protecting their interest. And I.
Okay. Representative Phillips?
I'd move the amendments as an.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a clarification. On page 7, talking about subsection 3 of section 3, and at the top there, top line of page 7, it uses the word materials and supplies. Throughout the bill, the word material is used, and when it's used, it means material and supplies. I don't think we need to make a change, but I would like to say for the record that materials and supplies there means just materials. We have basically four different categories that are covered by construction liens. One is labor, that means labor, equipment means rented equipment, services means architect services, engineering services, etc. And material means materials and supplies.
Representative Phillips?
I would move the amendment on page 1 of the bill to restore existing language.
Okay. Representative Phillips moves amendments that are hand-engrossed on page 1 of the Dash 5 amendments. Any further discussion on that motion? Any objection? If not, those are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 356 engrossed with those hand-engrossed amendments to the floor to pass.
Okay, Representative Phillips moves Senate Bill 356A as further amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Rader?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Representative Phillips, would you like the honors?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 219.
Mr. Chairman, this is a bill that relates to disclosure of records by a public body in the current Oregon law. Computer programs are not exempted, and trade secrets are inadequately protected. The inability to protect computer programs by a public body actually prevents a lot of public bodies from getting a return on the investment that they have made to produce these programs. And as far as trade secrets go, often many public bodies will request as part of their enforcement duties that trade secrets be given to them. And this puts the company providing the trade secrets at a disadvantage because under the Uniform Trade Secrets Act, the bill that we just passed through here several days ago, this material would be protected. However, if they are required to provide it to a public body and we don't pass this law could be circumvented by the fact that someone could go to the public body and under the law obtain this information. This bill would conditionally exempt from disclosure of computer programs, the condition would be based on a public need to know, and also exempt in trade secrets.
Okay, Representative Hanlon.
Mr. Chair, I prefer someone else.
Okay. Representative Phillips.
Chair, I move Ann Gross, Senate Bill 219, forward to the federal state.
Okay. Representative Phillips moves Senate Bill 219A engrossed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Yeah.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
No.
Phillips?
Aye.
Burton?
No.
Springer? Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers?
Yes, I could, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Bellamy. Good little Department of Justice bill.
Oh, here. Yes.
Okay, Senate Bill 87.
887.
Pardon me,
887.
87 is a popular
number,
though.
Picked right up on that. Okay. At least one Oregon county now is experimenting with a victim's impact program. This is a program where persons who have been convicted of driving under the influence are required to attend the program conducted by people who are victims of driving under the influence offenses. This can only be imposed upon people who have been convicted, as opposed to people who are being put in a diversion program. This bill would allow people who are being put in a diversion program to be become VIPers or be put in a VIP program. It also allows a fee on these people of up to $5 one way or the other.
Okay. Representative Phillips.
I'd move A. Engross Senate Bill 886 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Phillips has moved Senate Bill 887A engrossed to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you.
Is there further discussion?
Thank you. No, Phillips.
Don't. Representative Burton.
We got a. This sets up another fee, is that right? Another fee.
Excuse me.
Pointed out to me.
That's correct. In those counties that have a victim impact program.
How does that affect? We passed another bill out here which rescheduled all the fees. 887, I remember we spent a great deal of time. Will that impact this bill? Anybody hear from?
I'm not sure, Mr. Chairman. was inadvertent, but I do remember the bill, like it's from the 2087.
Yeah.
28. I don't know if they've taken any action on the Senate, but I remember they also had a fourth category for all others.
Part of the discussion, Mr. Chair.
Pardon me, Representative Bellman?
Part of the discussion, I know the State Court Administrator's Office put a tremendous amount of work into scheduling all those fees, and the committee spent a lot of time looking at it. And for a while, every time a fee bill came up, they were here jumping up and down because somebody was trying to layer their fee on top of this scheme that they had worked out that allocates the fees evenly. And my only question about this is that it appears to jump in with another layer. Mr. Taylor refers to as all others. Anyway.
Okay, further discussion? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll on Representative Phillips' motion on Senate Bill 887.
Bellman?
No.
Bellman?
Aye.
Dunn?
Aye.
No.
Dix?
No.
Hammond?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Rigger?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Representative Phillips, would you like to carry this Washington County bill?
Be glad to.
Okay, we're going to jump over 915 until we've taken care of the rest of our bills here. Let's try Senate Bill 222. Representative Dix?
Yes. Senate Bill 222?
Yes.
I would move Senate Bill 222 to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation. Excuse me, Mr. Chair. 222.
Okay.
222. Three twos. That just clarifies things.
Okay. Representative Dix moves Senate Bill 222. As amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
If I might, Mr. Chair.
Representative Dix.
And give me that. In the initial conversations I've had with the Senate on the tort reform package, they have expressed an interest, some of the senior members who are involved with the tort reform package have expressed an interest as to why we will not allow this bill come to the floor, why we didn't attach it to the tort reform package. There are some members who feel there isn't sufficient support to bring it to the floor. It was my feeling that unless that is shown to be the case by a vote, that this conversation will be entertained again, 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 and again if it gets stuck here in committee.
Representative Bunn.
Just very quickly, the reason I don't think we should let it go to the floor is because it's bad policy. The reason we didn't attach it to the other bill is because it's bad policy. But I want to say seriously that this bill would undo most of the meaningful work that we did on joint and several liability, and that's why I think the bill needs to be opposed.
Well, if I might.
Chair Bumps. Representative Burton.
You said amended. Were there amendments in the subcommittee? Did we have them?
Yes, there's three amendments.
Okay. Let me find
that. I hope those were distributed to members of the full committee.
Believe it'll change your opinion.
No, I don't have any idea. Somebody, Mr. Chairman, can I just ask somebody to go through and explain the bill to me? I wasn't in the subcommittee.
Counsel?
Right. The bill, as its amendment, eliminates third party practice in tort cases. It provides sanctions for violations of motion practice. It includes, I believe, Federal Rule 11. We deleted Federal Rule 11. And then the third thing that it does is eliminates the need for a prayer in a suit. A prayer is the part of the suit that specifies how much a party is being sued for, and instead allows the parties in other ways to identify the amount of sued.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bunn.
If I might just further clarify for Representative Burton's benefit on the question, if you eliminate third-party practice, the ability to bring in another defendant, you also eliminate the ability to allocate the percentage of liability between the two defendants. So what that means is you no longer have the ability to allocate that joint and several liability issue. You've just completely eliminated.
Well, there may be a difference of opinion on that. Representative Hanlon?
Well, there is. Chair, the reason I'm going to vote for it is it's good policy, and additionally, the scenario Representative Bunn sets up would set up a plaintiff in a position of having the empty chair that the defendant could point to as a defense. But I think this is ultimately good policy in practice, and we heard the discussion in subcommittee at some length by some experienced trial lawyers on the issue.
Representative Dix.
We've spent a good deal of time debating the merits. Well, maybe we haven't spent enough time debating the merits. I don't know. I'm just suggesting to the committee that if we're unfortunate enough to have, and perhaps we could finish this before we go down, if we're unfortunate enough to have our tort package go to a conference committee, provided it fails, that the members that the initial conversations we've had are very interested in finding out why this package won't be allowed to come to the House floor, and I don't think they believe that there is not sufficient support for this package, that this will come up time and time again as we negotiate in conference committee, and I can guarantee that. So it's almost as if it's something that will be used against us in negotiation on trying to reach a compromise or not reaching a compromise in conference committee.
Representative Burton.
Well, are you saying, Representative Dix, that the primary reason we're having this bill out is because otherwise the Senate's going to blackmail us on 323?
Well, I wouldn't put it exactly that way. I think that I think that if the move is not to concur, I think that in the conference committee there's going to be a discussion on 222, and there was an initial discussion on that subject this morning in the Senate President's office. And I got the distinct impression, and I think perhaps other members wouldn't agree that this is the course we should follow, but I got the distinct impression through our conversations that we were going to hear about 222 throughout the conference committee. And I thought that we should probably move it out, and I don't think there is support on the floor for the measure because of some things that have been reiterated here. But until that case is made in a voting fashion, I think it will continue to come into play in conference committee. So you want to call that blackmail? I don't think it's blackmail. I think it's a bill they've passed, and they want to know where it's at. I think that there was an effort by the interim committee to put three bills out, and we have combined two of those, and apparently there's some indication that we're going to leave the third one behind. So I don't know if you classify that blackmail or otherwise.
Okay. Chair believes it's good policy. The Senate voted it by a majority, and I, having met with Representative Dix and other folks to discuss what the parameters of the conference committee report would be, I would agree with everything that Representative Dix has said in terms of the value of a floor vote up or down on this issue, in terms of instructing our conferees in the position that they're to maintain.
One comment.
Representative Phillips.
I think we can send just an effective message by not having the votes to get it out of committee. This is one dead puppy. With that, I call the question.
Okay. Clerk will call the roll on the motion on Senate Bill 222.
Aye.
No.
Dunn?
No.
Burton?
No.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Phillips?
No.
Aye. Committee's in recess. We do not have members sufficient to proceed with our work today. We'll be adjourned, and assuming I receive permission from the speaker, which I assume I will be able to, we'll continue our agenda, I hope, approximately 1 p.m. on Monday.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask questions?
We have a quorum. I'd suggest we go ahead.
We just weren't adjourned.
We, as the chair announced, will be adjourned.